弟兄姐妹、朋友们平安。
Brothers and sisters, peace be with you.
在我们的生命的某一个时刻，或者说某一个瞬间，如果需要我们做一个最简短的祷告，我们会怎么样做？
In certain moments in our lives, if we had to make a brief or urgent prayer, what would he say?
最简短的祷告，我们会怎么样跟神祷告？
How are we going to pray to God at a spur of the moment?
或者说，在我们遇到一个突发事件的时候，那第一瞬间，我们能想到祷告吗？我们怎么祷告？
Well, if we need it at the spur of the moment, will we even think of praying? Or how are we going to do it?
在2周前，就是9月21号的主日，我们一起在这里思想分享过的经文是旧约圣经尼希米记的第一章。
So 2 weeks ago on September 21, we shared the passage from Nehemiah 1.
那从一个古代波斯帝国国王身边的酒政尼希米身上，我们看到了一种难能可贵的东西。
So we've learned that the cupbearer for Persian Emperor Nehemiah had amazing achievement.
尼希米作为第四代或者是第五代犹太战犯被掳的移民，
Nehemiah was either a fourth or fifth generation Jewish captive.
但是他已经完全的融入了波斯帝国的政治、经济和文化生活之中。
But he had completely assimilated himself into Persian political, economical, and social life.
他已经进到了高官的阶层，他的官职达到一人之下，万人之上。
So he ranked only second to the emperor.
那我不知道大家还记不记得，我曾经邀请大家，以我们现在作为一个生活在美国这片土地上的基督徒的身份，设想一下，当年尼希米对他自己身份的那种认同，或者是一心理的挣扎，大家还记得吗？
So I hope you still remember that I asked you, as Chinese Christian living in America, to place yourself in Nehemiah's shoes to empathize his struggles both with his identity and psychologically.
那他一方面是波斯王朝、波斯国王身边举足轻重的高官。
So on one hand, he was the influential official serving the Persian king.
那他又是一个具有希伯来血统的犹太被掳的移民的后代。
Yet on the other hand, he was also a descendant of a Jewish captive.
那他要效忠，他要委身，如果问的话，他会站在哪一边？
So which side should he be loyal to?
是叫效忠于委身于从他自己生下来就归属的，或者是像我们今天有的人一样，曾经举手宣誓加入的国籍那个国家和民族呢？要效忠这个民族和国家呢？还是效忠于委身于他血管里面流的那个他的祖先的血液的那种血浓于水的国家和民族呢？
Should he be loyal to the country he was born and held citizenship, or to his mother country and people?
那上次我们给大家的答案是什么？
So what was the answer last time?
对于他来讲，应该是这两个身份之外的第三个身份，是什么？是什么？第三个身份就是他的属灵身份，
So to Nehemiah, the answer was neither.
因为他是属神的人，他要委身于神。
Due to his third identity, the spiritual identity, a man of God, he was loyal to God alone.
他要做神的仆人。
So he dedicated and committed himself to be God's servant.
那最近一段时间，我每天按卷读经的时候，刚好是读到耶利米书，旧约圣经的耶利米书。
So recently, I've been reading Jeremiah in my daily devotions.
耶利米书三十章有一段经文，一到三节，耶和华的话临到耶利米说：“耶和华以色列的上帝如此说：你将我对你说过的一切话都写在书上。耶和华说：日子将到，我要使我的百姓以色列和犹大被掳的人归回，我也要使他们回到我所赐给他们列祖之地。”他们就得这地为业，这是耶和华说的。
I read Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 1. It says, "This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: Write in a book all the words that I have spoken to you. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will bring my people Israel and Judah back from the captivity." And restore them to the land I gave their ancestors to possess, says the Lord.
大家知道吗？这段经文是在犹大国破家亡、国民被掳之前，先知耶利米所发出的预言。
And these words were given to the prophet Jeremiah before Judah was overrun and its people were taken captive.
所以我们应当相信当时的尼希米。应该知道这一段预言。
So I believe Nehemiah was very familiar with them.
并且在他之前，先后已经有两批犹大被掳的难民百姓归回了，已经。
Especially after two groups of Jews already returned to Palestine.
那归回的百姓的状况如何呢？我们上次已经跟大家分享过。
But what were the conditions of those who returned to Palestine, and we talked about that last time also.
在尼希米记一章三节描述说，那些从流亡归回的难民正遭遇大困难，受到凌辱，耶路撒冷的城墙破损，城门被烧毁。
In Nehemiah 1:3, we read, "Those who survived exile or back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace." The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire.
这就是为什么我们说我们相信尼希米，是因为他的第三个身份，是他的属灵身份，激励他身为波斯国王身边贴身的高官。此时，他感动到，如果他不站出来，还有谁比他更合适？
This is the reason I believe it is Jeremiah's third identity, his spiritual identity, that compelled him as the highest official next to the Persian emperor to step up.
因为重建耶路撒冷，那个荒漠的城，那个责任是又大又重。他这个时候不站出来，还待何时啊？
So who else but him?Was better fitted to shoulder the difficult responsibility of rebuilding the city of Jerusalem.
所以我们讲，尼希米记第一章描写的是这位属神之人委身服侍的生命魅力。
Therefore, Nehemiah 1 portrays this man of God as life dedicated to serve God.
他的魅力所表现的，就是他在神面前的。流泪、哭泣、禁食、祷告。
It demonstrated that by his weeping, fasting, and praying before God.
还有一个可贵之处呢，就是安静的等待，等候神的时间到来。
In addition, he also quietly waited before God for the best moment of opportunity.
那我们今天就借着尼希米记二章一到九节这段经文，一起来进一步认识和思想尼希米这位属神之人，他委身服侍的智慧与胆量。
So today we shall read Nehemiah 2:1-9 to be familiarized with Nehemiah's wisdom, courage, and his dedicated life as God's servant.
那从刚才所读的《尼希米记》二章一到九节这段经文，我们看出来，基本上呢是作为久正的尼希米与国王两个人的对话。
So Nehemiah 2:1-9 was a conversation between the cupbearer Nehemiah and the Persian king.
大家回想一下，或者打开你手中的圣经，翻到尼希米二章，在一到九节里边，除了尼希米和国王，还有谁在出现？有没有其他人物？还有王后，但是王后没发言，是吧
？So in this passage we just read, the main characters, of course, are Nehemiah and the king. But who else was present? The queen, but she kept silent.
另外，我们相信还有一位在现场的，也是没有发言的，是谁呀？是神。
There was also a third person or fourth person present who was also silent, God himself.
那大家看一看这段经文，在第二、第四、第六节，王对我说，或者是说王问我说之后，尼希米他的反应和结果有几个。
So turn to the Bible and read verses 2, 4, and 6, and after several But, quote, the king asked me, and the king said to me, what were Nehemiah's responses and results?
他的反应是，于是，第一个是我甚惧怕，第二是，于是我默祷天上的神，第三个是王欢喜地差遣我去，最后一个他的反应是，因我神施恩的手帮助我，这是他的四个对王问他之后的反应。
So here we see a sequence of change of tones in his response. It began with, I was very much afraid. Then I prayed to God of heaven. Then eventually it pleased the king to send me, all because the gracious hand of my God was upon me.
那现在我们就沿着尼希米与国王谈话中他自己的情绪变化的过程来认识和体会这位属神之人委身服侍的智慧与胆量。
So let us now follow the sequence of the changes in their conversation to get to know this man of God, his wisdom and courage in serving God.
首先从第一到第二节我们来看一个功夫不负有心人。
So verses 1-2 will begin with hard work finally paid off.
尼希米记二章一到二节，亚达薛西王20年尼撒月，在王面前摆酒，我拿起酒来奉给王，我素来在王面前没有愁容。这是第一节。
In 2 verse 1 it says, In the month of Nisan, in 20th year of the king Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him,I took the wine and gave it to the king.
那在第一章，尼希米为流亡归回的难民遭遇大困难，受到凌辱而哭泣流泪进食祷告的时间是什么时候？
But in chapter 1, when Nehemiah was weeping and fasting, praying for those who returned to Jerusalem, what was the time then?
大家如果手头还翻开圣经的话，是在亚达薛西王做波斯皇帝的第20年的基斯流月。现在是呢尼撒月。
The time he was praying and fasting and weeping was in the month of Kislev in the 20th year rule of Artaxerxes.
那我们来看看，基斯流月在这个时候，因为它是同一年，大概11-12月。尼撒月呢，在这里3-4月。
So the month of Kislev was about December, but the month of Nisan was in.March and April.
所以前后大概有4个月的时间。
So 4 months have passed until it gets to chapter 2.
那我们可以想象，在过去的这4个月中，尼希米哭泣流泪，进食祷告，他还要上班，还要做酒证，他这段日子怎么过来？
So let's try to imagine how Nehemiah spent that 4 months. On one hand, he had to be weeping, he had to weep and pray and fast at home.
He
had his full-time job, daytime job.
我们是不是可以形容他在这段时间是过着一个双面人的日子
？So he had a, probably he need to live a double life.
哭泣流泪进食祷告，恐怕是他只能在自己家中私底下的事情。
So he must have spent his private time at home weeping, fasting, and praying.
那回到了王宫，在国王面前，他必须做到不露声色。
However, he must keep his composure in the palace serving before the king.
所以在这种情况下，我们可以想象他是在等待，等待一个天时地利人和最佳的时机，才能够在国王面前张开他的嘴。
So he must be waiting for the right moment, a perfect opportunity, before he can open his mouth before the king.
为什么呀
？Why?
因为他要冒着生命的危险，要去推翻这位亚达学习皇帝在十多年前下达的停止重建耶路撒冷城的那个禁令。就是这位王十多年前刚刚下了禁令，他要推翻他。
The reason being, he had to risk his life in order to repeal the decree Artaxerxes issued.More than a decade before halting the rebuilding of Jerusalem.
So, 素来在王面前没有愁容这句话，我们仔细思想，应该是有两层的含义。
Therefore, not being said in presence of the king probably means that there are twofold meaning.
以往是因为他自己尊贵的身份，安逸富裕的生活，所以在王面前，他是开开心心的，脸上没有愁容。
So、either means due to his noble status and wealth, he had no worries for his life, and therefore he was cheerful.
那最近这四个月之以来呢，他脸上那是一种强装笑颜的不露愁。
But for the past 4 months, he had to feign cheerfulness.
上个月就是9月16号，奥巴马总统。前往亚特兰大美国国家疾病控制中心去商讨美国如何应对埃博拉疾病的事情。
So last month in September 16, President Obama was at CDC Atlanta attending a strategic session in dealing with the Ebola virus crisis.
结果在奥巴马和身边的特工进的电梯里头，突然钻进来一个保安。
A former security personnel.Suddenly, came into the elevator that Obama and his Secret Service personnel were at.
结果那个保安拿着手机就在电梯间对着奥巴马总统镜头拍拍拍，特工问他不允许也不管，就是要拍拍拍。最后特工给他跟下，一调查，哇，这个人当时身上带着枪，有三次进到局子里边的前科。
So he, took his cell phone and took pictures of Obama and against advice from the Secret Service personnel. They finally have to tackle and overcome him. And then later on, they found out this was a guy who was carrying a concealed weapon with 3 separate criminal records in the past.
我相信我现在就体会到那帮特工了，我现在心中心跳就加快了。
Thinking of this, already speed up my heart rate.
事隔没有几天，9月16号之后，9月19号发生了一件什么事情
？A few days later, in September 19, what happened?
一名曾经以狙击手的身份三次参加过什么战争啊？伊拉克战争的退伍老兵，竟敢翻过那个白宫的栅栏，跳进去，直闯到大厅里边、前厅里边，身上当时还带着刀子。
On September 19, a former sniper who served 3 tours in Iraq jumped over the fence of the White House, made inside the executive mansion all the way to the green room before being tackled by Secret Service.
后来从他自己在旁边停的车里边发现里边有枪有弹有子弹。
And later on, they also discovered that there were additional weapons inside the car, his car parked outside.
所以就在前几天，10月1号，美国国土安全部长约翰逊宣布，作为美国特勤局局长的一位女生 Julia Pearson，这位刚刚上任了1年多的女局长，在9月30号主动提出了辞职。
So on October 1st, the Homeland Security Secretary Johnson announced the resignation of the Director of Secret Service, Julia Pearson, who has been on the job for just more than a little bit more than a year.
我们脑筋回到古波斯时代，如果是在那个时代，恐怕这个 Pearson 不会只是辞职这么简单了吧？
The reason we mention this is because we're trying to help you to understand the trouble Nehemiah put himself in. If it would have been a lot more than just a simple resignation had that event took place in the ancient Persian Empire.
尼希米后边有一卷什么书啊？
What's the book following Nehemiah?
以斯帖记，我们看里边。以斯帖记里边呢，有一段记载是第4章第11节，说不分男女，无论是谁，没有蒙王的召唤而擅自进去见王的，一定会被处死。
In the book after Nehemiah is Esther. In Esther 4:11, it recorded that for a man or woman who appears, who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law: they must be put to death.
那实际上，以斯帖记记载的事情是发生在尼希米之前，所以他一定清楚，当时和他同样是犹太的被掳的移民后代一个年轻的女子以斯帖。虽然做了王后，但是呢，如果她擅自去王面前，只是和王见一面的话，一定也不能免死的。
Nehemiah was very familiar with what happened because Esther was written before the events of Esther took place before Nehemiah's time, so he knew that there was a decree that no one could approach the king without being summoned. The queen is no exception.
所以，正如俗话所说的，伴君如伴虎。为什么呢？因为老虎的嗅觉是非常非常敏锐的。
So, like the old saying, to be in king's company is tantamount to living with a tiger.
那我们想象，尼希米强装笑颜，4个月，努力使自己在亚达薛西王面前不露愁容，但是怎么样，还是露出了马脚。
So after 4 months of efforts to feign cheerfulness, it failed, and Nehemiah showed his cloven hoof.
尼希米记2章2节，王对我说：“你既没有病，为什么面带愁容呢？”这不是别的，必是你心中愁烦。于是我甚惧怕。
So Nehemiah 2:2, so the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. When I heard this, I was very much afraid.
我选了这张图，大家仔细看看，虽然这个画的不是那么精细，但是你看那个王的那个表情非常非常到位。
This picture says it all.
里面有狡猾，有那种强势，很多的因素在里面。
King showed his treachery and his being intimidating.
但是有人说这是上帝使用尼希米的隐藏不住的悲哀的面孔，让王心生怜悯，主动关心，说是神的时间到了。
But someone may say that it is God who revealed Nehemiah's inner sorrow so that the king will be moved with compassion and concern.
那我想请大家来注意一个词儿，就是我甚惧怕，这个惧怕这个词儿。
Because God's timing is here, God's time is here. Here we should focus on this phrase, I was very much afraid.
看看这个惧怕的这个词，它在尼希米记中出现。 见了12次，但是在整个旧约圣经中出现了305次，是个出现的率非常非常高的词儿。
This word fear appeared frequently in Old Testament 305 times, but in Nehemiah it appeared 12 times.
它最基本的意思有两个。
There are two essential meaning to this word fear.
在尼希米中有7次是描述惧怕、害怕。
In 7 times it meant awe or awesome in awe.
有5次是描写敬畏、可畏。
And 5 times it was used to describe reverence of our revere.
你比如在前面1章5节和11节，耶和华天上的神，大而可畏的神，是这个字。11节，求你垂听我的祷告，也垂听所有敬畏你的仆人的祷告，也是这个词儿。
So Nehemiah 1:5, we see Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, where this word was used.
那我们这时候来体贴当时尼希米的心情。他的感受。
In verse 11, it also says the prayer of your servant who delight in revering your name. Revering is used in verse 11.
So that 一定有惧怕的成分，因为国王问他为什么面对愁容这个词的时候，那个愁容也是有很多含义的。
So facing the king's inquisition, there must be a component of fear in Nehemiah.
那个愁容那个词，我找那个词找了一下，在旧约圣经中只出现了18次，其中呢，只有2次是悲伤或者是愁烦。
So the king asked why he showed sadness. The word sadness appeared 18 times in an Old Testament.
其他16次描写的都是道德上的恶、坏，还有不良的品质等等。
Where only 2 times it depict sorrow and trouble, the other 16 times are related to evil and wicked nature.
当国王用一个皎洁的脸色来说，你为什么表现出这么不好的品质的面相的时候，哇，怎么样？
When he saw the expression of the king's facial expression, what would he react?
但是从前后的经文中，我们已经看到了尼希米他对神的信心和愿意委身摆上他自己有一个决心。
However, within the context of the events, we could sense the faith and commitment Nehemiah had in serving God.
那毕竟现在是国王主动的向他发问，所以呢，很可能他怀着的心情呢是五味的心情，怀着惧怕，还有尊敬，还有感恩，甚至呢，我们想带有一丝 maybe 有窃喜的心情。
See, after all, it was the king who was asking. Therefore, at this point, with some fear and trepidation mixed with awe and gratefulness and maybe a smidgen of joy,He gave thanks to God.
因为他已等待了4个月了，所以这时候王一问说：“感谢神，机会来了，是祸是福就由不得我自己了。”
Because they've been waiting for this moment for the last 4 months, so when the opportunity is at hand, he's not going to worry about what is about to happen. He'll grab the opportunity and run with it.
在我们自己的生命经历中，有没有过那种既害怕？有期望的事情发生，有没有
？Have we ever felt this way before? To find out what is long expected with some fear and with some excitement?
我相信，在我们年轻的时候，当我们看到一个女孩子或者一个男孩子，我们期盼着去跟他交流的时候，是不是有点那种心情？期望他答应，但是又害怕他拒绝。张嘴之前
I never experienced that.
有这个感受啊。
It's like when you were much younger, and you face the person who like to make friends with, and you're filled with the worry that he or she might refuse you, yet the excitement that he or she might accept you.
尼希米是不是就在这种既害怕又期盼又期望的心情下来回答国王的？
So was it not what Nehemiah was going through?
所以我们说他是胆大心细得怜悯。
Therefore, our next point was mercy on the brave and the scrupulous.
尼希米2:3节。 我对国王说：“愿王万岁！我列祖坟墓所在那城荒凉，城门被火焚烧，我岂能面无愁容吗？”
Nehemiah 2:3, Nehemiah says, "I said to the king, 'May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire?'"
大家想过没有？从尼希米对国王的这句回答里面显示出，他在过去四个月祷告等待的过程中，真是做了精细的准备。So
here we see that in Nehemiah's reply, it revealed the result of the careful preparation for the last 4 months spent in fasting and praying.
你看，他说：“我列祖的坟墓所在那城。”He
said, "The city where his ancestors were buried."
只字不提那个敏感的耶路撒冷城那个名字。
Without mentioning once the sensitive name of Jerusalem.
尼希米是什么身份？ 所以我们相信国王身边的特勤局的一些特工一定会将尼希米的身世详详细细地报告给国王过。
See, we must assume the intelligence agents had before the king had long before brought to the king of Nehemiah's background of being a Jew.
所以此时尼希米是经过深思熟虑之后打出了一个感情的牌：我的家乡，我的祖坟所在的地方，那个城荒凉。So
after careful thought, he finally revealed that his concern was about his ancestors' hometown.
这个话一出口，果然奏效。王问我说：“你要求什么？”于是我默祷天上的事。So
the way he replied brought the results as pleasing to him. The king said to me, he says, "What is it that you want?"
这又是我们再回想刚才那个王的那个狡猾那个面孔。实际上，王是非常清楚，但是这个时候呢，王不但没有揭穿尼希米，好你个犹太被掳的移民的小子，你敢拐弯抹角的想推翻我下的那个禁令，你小子胆子不小。After
hearing Nehemiah's reply, the king did not expose Nehemiah's true intention by saying, "And you Jewish misfit, you tried to beat around the bush and to overturn my decree."
结果王不但没有生气，而是顺水推舟的说：“你想求什么？”哇！
Instead, the king went along by asking, "What is it that you want?"
那这个时候的尼希米的表现，就是今天开始我问的时候，他此时没有侥幸的忘乎所以，而是头脑非常清晰的。 说：“我默祷天上的神。”So
overjoyed at the turn of events, Nehemiah did not get beside himself, but retained his composure to pray quietly to God of heaven.
尼希米这个时候怎么样默祷？And
how did he pray?
也就是在我们生命的某一个瞬间，需要我们做一个最简短的祷告，我们会怎样祷告？
So this is the question at the beginning of the sermon that I ask, at the spur of the moment, how are you going to pray? Or do you even think of prayer?
如果我们是尼西米的话，面对王是那个皎洁的面孔对你的时候，我们能想到祷告吗？
So facing that situation before the king, would it even occur to you that you should pray?
那通常在我们的概念中，祷告是怎么样啊？闭上眼睛，甚至跪下来。
Normally we think of prayer, we think of people closing their eyes or even kneel down.
所以对尼西米讲，这个时候既不能闭眼睛，也不能跪下来，更不能张嘴说神哪。
At that moment, Nehemiah had no chance to close his eyes or kneel down or even open his mouth say, Oh God.
那这时候怎么样祷告？
So how did he pray?
神啊，求你救我！神啊，求你救我！是不是用腹语，用默祷
？Save me, God! Save me, God! Help me, God!
就这么简单，就是这么简单。大家不要嫌我啰嗦，就在这个时候这么简单，他的祷告神垂听。
But at that moment, such simple prayer, God answered.
你看后边，尼希米记二章。五节六节，我对王说：“仆人若在王眼前蒙恩，王若喜欢，求王差遣我王犹大到我列祖坟墓所在的那城去，我好重新建造。”那时王后坐在旁边，王问我说：“你要去多少日子？几时回来？”我就定了日子。于是王欢喜差遣我去。哇，这一切。
So you see what happened? God answered prayer, and when I answered. The king says in Nehemiah 2:5, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried, so I can rebuild it. Then the king, with queen sitting beside him, asked me, How long will your journey take, and when will you get back? It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time.
如果我们不相信神的话，一定会觉得这是一个不可思议的事情。
If we did not believe in God, this would have been unimaginable.
国王竟然莫名其妙地回应了尼希米那个非分的要求。
Without reasons, the king not only granted Nehemiah what he asked for,
而且是欢欢喜喜地差遣尼希米去推翻自己所下的那个禁令
，but also gladly sent Nehemiah to revoke his own decree。
有人说是因为王后在旁边坐着，可是从这里边呢，王后又没有说一句话，可能就会出来很多很多的故事。
Maybe the king was actually looking at the queen, his lovely queen. She made a difference. We don't know.
我曾经向许多朋友推荐过这本书，《去过天堂90分钟》。
I've recommended this autobiography of Being to Heaven 90 Minutes.
这是一本自传书，这是作者。
This is the author.
作者是一位德州金信会的牧师。
The author was a pastor of a Baptist church in Texas.
他参加了一年一度的德州牧师金信会的年会之后，独自一个人驾车回家。
One year on the way home from a annual pastor's convention,
在那个乡间的州内的公路上，他行驶到一座又窄又老旧的铁桥上的时候。
He was passing by a narrow stretch of highway crossing an old steel bridge.
迎面有一辆18轮的大卡车，歪歪斜斜的过了中线，从他的车顶上一下压过去。
When he was hit head on by an 18-wheel semi,
结果那辆车的驾驶者呢，是德州监狱连里边的一个囚犯。他身上没有驾驶那个大卡车的驾照。
The semi was driven by a jailbird without a driver's license.
结果是把他的小车压得粉碎。那这位牧师呢，当人看他的时候，身体是支离破碎， 左大腿的4英寸半的骨头不知道飞到哪里去了，右臂的有一段骨头也不知道飞到哪里去了，就是靠着皮和肉在连接的。
The small car was totally crushed by the big semi, and the pastor was dismembered and killed instantly.
当时摸了以后，摸了他以后，检查了以后，没有脉搏，宣布当场死亡。然后呢，救护人员就用那个防雨的布盖在他身上和车上，开始去抢救清理现场。
So the paramedics found no vital signs on him, declare him dead, and cover his body in the crushed car with canvas and clean up the scene.
其实他们有两个事情在等待，一个是等待远处非常远的地方，那是乡下的地方，等待验尸官来签完字了以后，才能给他移到殡仪馆。另外呢，等待一个大的车来，能把那个车剪开以后，才能把它拉出来。他们没有办法把它移出来。
They're waiting for two things. Number one is for the coroner's office to come and sign the death certificate so you could send the body to the funeral home, and the other one's for a crane to remove the car.
过了一个多小时之后，有一对和他同样参加牧师年会的牧师的夫妇，他们看到，哇，这个 CQC 的非常长，他们想到前面一定有出现事情了。他们夫妇两个人走了大概有半英里，走到了处置现场。
So 1 hour later, another young pastor couple who were who was stopped by the traffic jam thought it must be some awful thing happened up ahead, and then walked half an hour onto the scene.
他们期望是能为伤者祷告，但是得到消息说，那个大卡车的 driver 和另外两个被撞的车，三个车上的所有的司机和乘客毫发未损，只有这一个人宣布已经死亡。
Hoping to pray for those who were injured in the accident, only to find out the semi driver and drivers of two other cars involved in the accident were all fine. Only the small car's driver was dead.
这时候，这个牧师呢，从心里面有一种强烈的感动，要为那个车里边那个死的人祷告。
At that moment, this pastor, who also attended the same conference, felt the urge to pray for the dead in the small car.
但他脑子里边非常清晰的是，金星会的神学观念不允许牧师为死去的人祷告。
According to his past Baptist theology, it was not proper to pray for the deceased.
但是他当时内心的那种理智，抗争不过他里边的一种感动，他就要求去祷告，跟警察讲，警察不理他，不理他，他就跟他讲，我要为这个祷告。警察看了半天，很惨的那个人死的，你要小心了，允许他去祷告。
However, his mind could not resist the emotion which was being compelled. He pleaded repeatedly with the police, and after being warned of the gruesome sight, he crawled into the back seat of the car.
那这位牧师呢，就从后备箱不知道怎么样爬进去以后，就靠在那个驾驶的后座呢。然后呢，他先又检查了一下，没有脉搏。然后呢，他就一个手扶在他的肩膀上，开始祷告。
So he crawled into the back seat and checked the body's pulse to make sure he was truly dead. Then he laid his arm around the shoulder and began to pray for him.
在他祷告的中，心中那种激动，一边祷告，一边流泪，一边哭。最后呢，他又开始唱诗歌。耶稣恩友。
With his filled with emotion, he started weeping and praying, and soon he started singing the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
就在他唱耶稣恩友的时候，突然听到那个人跟他一起唱。
And all of a sudden, he heard that the dead was singing with him.
他连滚带爬的就出来以后就找人，说那个人活着，结果现场没有一个人理他。
So he, scared of his wits, rolled out of the car to inform the paramedics, but no one believed him.
找谁不理他，抢救人家别在这捣乱了。结果他就说，如果不再去检查一下，我就躺在这个地上，你从我身上压过去。因为他在清理现场，他就躺在地上的说。
So finally, he threatened to block the narrow bridge with his own body.
是那个救护人员又是那样看他，以后行吧，我进去吧。
So
他们进去一摸了以后，现场所有人都上去了。
finally, he was able to convince one paramedic to check the pulse of the dead that was pronounced 90 minutes before.
从他没有脉搏被宣布死亡到他开始张嘴和这个牧师一起唱诗歌，中间经过了1个半小时，就是90分钟。
So that's the topic of this book, the title of the book, from the time he was pronounced dead until he started singing was 90 minutes.
在接下来的5个小时中，他被救护车颠簸地走了4家医院，每个医院的医生看完他以后说：“我们会尽力的，我们会尽力的。”但是没有一个医生觉得他能活下来。
So for the next 5 hours, this injured, the dead now resuscitated. Pastor was transferred to 4 different hospitals because of his complexity of injury. No hospital will be able to handle him, and no doctors believe he will make it.
事故发生2周以后，那个为他祷告的牧师到医院看他，他们有一段对话。他说：“他向我说起当时上帝感动他为我祷告，而他怎样为我祷告了几分钟的事情。”
Two weeks later, in the hospital room, the conversation of these two pastors were recorded.
最幸运的是，我的头部没有受伤，也没有内伤，内脏也没有受伤。他说
：“He said, God moved him to pray for me, and how he spent a few minutes praying.” The luckiest thing was I had no head injury or severe internal injury.
所以那个牧师轻声地笑了笑说，当然是这样，所以上帝就是要我这样为你祷告的。上帝也回应了祷告。
The other pastor said laughingly, of course, that's the way it was. That's how God want me to pray for you, and God answered prayer.
然后作为受伤的牧师问那个为他祷告的牧师说，你相信吗？你相信上帝会应允那样的祷告吗？
The injured pastor says, do you believe? Do you believe God will answer such prayer?
他说，是的，我相信。虽然你已经受了很重的伤，实际上虽然你已经死过去了，但是我知道上帝是会回应我的祷告。
The praying doctor, praying pastor says, "Of course, I believe in God. Even though you are seriously wounded, but God will answer my prayer."
那我们回到尼希米。
Let's return to Nehemiah.
他经过4个月的哭泣、流泪、禁食、祷告的等候，那在前面的2:24-6，王对我说，问他之后，我们和尼希米一起经历了那种。我甚惧怕，于是我默祷上帝，于是王欢欢喜喜地差我去，这样一个奇妙的过程。
So after experiencing Nehemiah's fear, which was followed by praying to God for help, and then the miraculous commission of the king.
那在接下来的经文中，会让我们更加赞叹地看到神所以施恩手帮助他，是因为他不单有委身服侍的心，而且在他的智慧中透着胆量，在他的胆量中又充满了智慧。
We ought to be able to see with some admiration that the reason God intervened to help Nehemiah is not only because Nehemiah is committed to serve, but he also had courage and wisdom.
我用一个词儿，它叫眼观六路，蒙主恩。
So the next main point is grace for the observant.
尼希米记2:7-8，我又对王说，王若欢，求王赐我诏书通知大河西的省长，准我经过，直到犹大。又赐诏书通知王管理园林的亚撒，使他给我木料。做属殿营楼之门的横梁和城墙，与我自己房屋使用，王就允准我，因我神施恩的手帮助我。
Nehemiah 2:7 says, I also said to him, if it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governor of Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the royal park, so he will give me timber to make beams for gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city wall and for my for the residents I will occupy. And because the gracious hand of God was upon me.
尼希米之所以能够跻身于那种高官，而成为国王身边最可信任的酒政，为什么？
What's the reason that Nehemiah was promoted to the highest official in the emperor and be the king's confidant?
这里边够用，所以我用一个眼观六路，耳听八方。胆大心细，遇事不慌，来形容他应该不为过吧。
Because he proved to be keenly alert, bold but cautious, poised and serene.
因为他本身以国王九正的身份，我们可以想象，在波斯帝国所到之处，他说话的话，应该很有分量的。
So being a king's cupbearer, he assumed certain authority within the Persian Empire.
那他为什么在这里还有两次求要诏书呢？
But why did he have to plead to the king?
毕竟有人先前告了恶状给国王，所以才颁布了停止修建耶路撒冷城的禁令。
Someone must have made malicious accusation so that the king issued a decree to stop building Jerusalem.
那他既然甘愿冒着性命的危险而出面担当重建的重任，所以在他采取行动之前，他需要全面的了解现状，而且又要具体分析未来可能会发生的什么样的困难。
So in order to risk his life and to bear the responsibility of rebuild Jerusalem, he had to understand the entire situation before taking actions, and he had to analyze all potential troubles and make preparations for them.
所以我们相信他已经制定出了一个周密详细的计划，一步一步的来实行。
So he must have made a step-by-step detailed plan.
那当他有了这样的计划的时候，神为他预备的时间到来的时候，他就可以面对国王突然的问话，从容不迫地把他的计划一步一步讲出来。
So with such strategy, and when the time God prepared for him came, Nehemiah could face King's sudden inquisition with poise.
他不但恰到好处地用言语来描绘，而且呢，在王看着王高兴的时候，进一步让我们说得寸进尺地提出的下一步的计划。
So not only he made detailed plans, present detailed plans to the king, he also took advantage of the delightful mood of the king to raise his plan, to present his plans and request for resources.
我们看现代中文译本对尼希米记二章七到八节的翻译，我又求皇上开恩赐给我诏书，通知河西省的省长们准许我经过到犹大去。我也要求一份诏书给管理皇家森林的亚萨，要他供应我木材，为修造圣殿堡垒的营门城墙和我的住宅之用，因为上帝与我同在，我所要求的皇上都赐给了我。
As a contemporary translation says this way, I ask king for his edict for safe passage through Trans-Euphrates to Judah, another edict for Asaph, keeper of the royal garden, to provide timber for the construction of the temple gate, citadel, wall of the city, and my own private residence. Because God was with me, I received from the king more than I requested.
那我们在求神的时候都有这样一个经历，说我们求神，神不但赐给了我们，而且赐给我们的是超过我们所想所思的。
We all have this experience. God frequently provide us more than what we ask for.
所以第九节就是皇上派了一些军官和一队骑兵护送我，我就启程到河西省，在那里我把皇上的诏书交给省长。
So now the king not only provided him the material, the resources, but also sent commanding officers and cavalry for his protection. Therefore, he was able to set out for Transphades and presented edict to the governors.
我想跟弟兄姐妹们分享的就是，我们祷告的时候，常常是不是这样说：“神呐，求你赐下恩典给我。”Do
we often pray to God for His grace?
但是，当神的恩典赐下的时候，我们预备好了没有？
But when the grace of God is upon us, are we well prepared to receive?
当神把加添的人数送到我们面前的时候，我们准备好怎么样在人面前做见证了没有？
So when God sent people to us, are we prepared to present gospel or witness for God?
我们预备好了没有？怎样把耶稣基督大好的消息传给人了？
Are we well prepared to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people that God sent to us?
盼望神将赐给尼西米那样委身服事的智慧和胆量，也加添给我们。May
God give us the same courage and wisdom He bestowed on Nehemiah.
从前天，也就是周五的晚上开始，我们教会。 开始了为期三个月的在教会联合小组聚会的这样一个形式。Starting
from last Friday, we started a 3 months long combined small group meetings at church.
我们盼望是在我们大家学习工作忙了一周之后，在神为我们预备的这样一个美好的殿堂里边，我们一起来聚餐，我们一起来唱诗歌，我们一起来玩游戏，然后。 分小组学习分享神的话语，交流我们自己的生活中的酸甜苦辣。So
we hope after a busy week of work, we can gather here at church to have fellowship meal, to sing praises, and enjoy some group games, and then study the Word of God. We like to share the facts of life and make each other feel this is home.
使我们更有家的感觉。 那我们将陆续地为大家提供一些小组生活实践的一些培训的资料，使我们每一个基督徒都能够将我们自己的信仰和我们的生活发生碰撞。So
we'll continue to provide life-changing materials for small group discussions so that our faith can be made alive in our daily living.
使我们的信仰和我们的生活能够擦出火花来。
So that our faith, we can live our life, live the faith we have in our lives.
使我们的生命能够成为他人的帮助。
To affect those who are around us.
使我们能够成为他人引以为自豪的朋友。
And also to become their dear friends.
所以我在这里。 热切的盼望，在我们中间那些还没有加入小组的弟兄姐妹和朋友们，邀请你们，在每个月前三周或者有5周的时候，每个月的前4周晚上来到教会。So
we earnestly welcome those who have not joined a small group yet. Come every first 3 or 4 Fridays of each month.
盼望大家都能够加入到一个小组里边，或者你期望在这里呢有你们两家、三家，或者多几家的弟兄姐妹和朋友们重新组建一个小组，都可以。Come
and join an existing small group, or if you like, with 2 or 3 families, can form a new group yourself.
来吧，弟兄姐妹，我邀请你们。Come
on, all. I invite you.
好，请大家打开红色诗歌本， 我们来一起唱一首回应诗歌，第377首。
So let's turn to Red Hymn Book number 377.
"恩友歌."
Jesus, for
我最先但我有何等权力能将万事来到耶稣座前求多少平安我们所失。 多少痛苦愿望受，都是因为未将万事来到耶稣座前求。第二段我们轻声的唱，我们有无始的因由。 有难过苦关头，绝不应当因此灰心，仍当到主座前求。何处能寻这般良友？ 同尝一切苦与愁，我们若见主都知道，放心到他座前求。第三段，我们大家一起起立，放声来唱。来，们是否软弱多愁？ 千斤重担压肩头，主仍作我避难处所，奔向耶稣座前求。你若争风又盼亲临，快向耶稣座前求。 到他怀中，他必保护；有他安慰，便无忧。我们一起用神的话语接受赐福。
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
愿主耶稣基督的恩惠、父神的慈爱、圣灵的感动，常与你们众人同在，从今时直到永永远远。Amen.
Please be seated. We'd like to take this opportunity to welcome those who are here for the very first time. So if you're here for the first time, would you please stand up and let us know your name. We'd like to have fellowship with you. Anyone on our right-hand side? These couple from Xi'an and Shanghai, they were here. The lady was an exchange scholar at Notre Dame. They were here with their six-year-old son who's downstairs with the kids. They will be here for some time. The husband is ready to go back to China, but she and her son will continue to come here. So welcome. Anyone else? How about this side? All familiar faces. Welcome, Wendy, back from Hong Kong. She's the daughter of Jin Xing and Xiao Duo. You didn't join the protest, got kicked out, did you? So you escaped that, huh? Welcome. So next we'll show you about a minute video about the upcoming the Chicago Chinese Christian Conference will be held in December this year. So this is sort of what happened in the past, give you a taste of what the meeting is all about. So I hope you prepare and make yourself available to attend this very comprehensive meeting. The title may be a little threatening, but I don't think you're about to lose your life. No, it's not that. But it's when God comes, we want to be prepared, well prepared, like Pastor said today.
Oh, 接下来的另外, 报告来的三个